Now, I read you last night. In fact, I can read you. See, I got some more things here. His detective story. Here's a pictorial history of the Jewish people. A treasury of Jewish folklore. Good little book. Sure isn't Christian, I'll tell you that. The ancient Middle East, the biblical period. After King Solomon's death in 922 BC, the united monarchy split into two. The southern kingdom, Judah, contained the tribe of that name, and the tribe of Simeon in the Negev already absorbed into Judah. Not true, friend. The rest of the 12 Israelite tribes seceded and established the northern king of Israel. You got to cover a lot of ground to be able to pick up a sentence that's just plain wrong. They moved to a seacoast city along with Dan, and they were still part of the 10 tribes, and the large portion of them were assimilated northward. And they had their own coastal tribes to the south of Judah, and they were split. The kingdom of Israel lasted for just 2 centuries. In 722 BC, it was overrun by an Assyrian army, and its capital, Samaria, was sacked. Now, this is the Jewish frame of reference. All but the lowliest of the citizens were carried away into captivity in Assyria, and at that time, the dominant Near Eastern power. They were resettled in Mesopotamia. According to the Bible, in Hala, I showed you that on the map, and on Haber, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. You got that? That's true. 2 Kings 17:6. Now listen to this. From that time, because the Jews look for Jews. They don't look for Gentiles. They should have listened to Paul. You know, when I take Holy Land tours, if we have a Hebrew guide, they avoid the sites of Paul's activities like a plague. They just stay off of him like he's got leprosy. And I'd love to say, hey, wait a minute, and I pull the bus aside, and I say, Paul was right here, and this is what happened. The old guide sits there and says, from that time they disappeared from history, but the belief persisted among Jews that their brethren of the lost 10 tribes had survived and one day would return home. That faith was echoed in the visions of great Hebrew prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel. The legend kept recurring in the diaspora after the end of the Second Temple. The 12th century Jewish traveler Benjamin of Toledo, you remember him? He hunted lost tribes, you remember? Reported and recorded reports that the lost 10 tribes were living in Persia and in Arabia. In 1650, the celebrated Amsterdam rabbi Manasseh ben Israel published his book, The Hope of Israel, which discussed the supposed discovery of the tribes in South America. From the 19th century, nations in different parts of the world have been identified as the descendants of the lost 10 tribes on ingenious but flimsy grounds. These include, this is Jew talking, the British, the North American Indians, and the Japanese. Now, when I say this is Jew talking, I don't mean to put that down. I'm reading their arguments, getting the gestalt of the whole frame. And I believe this man believes this, but he or she is wrong. These include the British, the North American Indians, and the Japanese. Now watch the way they prove it. One sentence. One of the Jewish sages, the redoubtable Rabbi Akiba, in the 2nd century A.D., had the courage to state bluntly that, quote, the 10 tribes shall not return again, end quote. That, this is what this author says, that must be regarded as the verdict of history. Now, what's the authority? The redoubtable Rabbi Akiba said it. Well, let's, you know, if you're going to gestalt something, let's see what the frame of reference of redoubtable Rabbi Akiba said. Boy, that's impressive. The redoubtable Rabbi Akiba. But now, if you go research it a bit, modern research conducted by zealous and learned Jews confirms the constant testimony of that people that they represent the tribe of Judah. and the Levites only, and that they do not know where the 10 tribes are. This is the Jewish position. One of the latest contributions to this subject is to be found in a series of articles contributed by the learned Jew, Dr. Ad Neubauer, to the Jewish Quarterly Review in 1889. Quote, "At least they know that they were separate from Judah. The captivity of Israel, exiled beyond the Euphrates, did not return as a whole to Palestine along with their brethren, the captives of Judah." It's from the Jewish Quarterly Review. "At least there's no mention made of this event in the documents at our disposal. He believes them to be the subject of prophecy." Quote, "In fact," he says, "the return of the 10 tribes was one of the great promises of the prophets, and the advent of the Messiah is therefore necessarily identified with the epoch of their redemption." And that is correct. For years, the Jews have known the 10 tribes are separate from the Jews and didn't come back with them. That's point one. Number two, because they're students of their own scriptures, they have known for years that when Messiah returns, they're going to be brought together again. Because Ezekiel said that, the Lord will put the stick of Judah in one hand and the stick of Israel in one hand, and the coming of Messiah, he cannot come in fullness without the two sticks being joined. Well, then why did Akiba, redoubtable Jewish scholar, rabbi, why did he bluntly say they'll never return? Simple. Very simple. Dr. Niebauer also states that Rabbi Akiba believed Bar Kochab to be the Messiah, one of the false messiahs, who was on the scene then. And because Rabbi Akiba believed that Bar Kochab was the Messiah, and that insomuch as the tribes are to be gathered during the time of the Messiah, and that they were not gathered under Bar Kochab, he, Rabbi Akiba, stated the tribes would never return. Now, the sentence makes sense, doesn't it? Not only is no prophecy of Scripture private interpretation, no little statement of know-it-alls without checking and double-checking. Now, I can call him a redoubtable rabbi, and I can say he had the courage to state bluntly they'd never return. But I haven't told the whole story if I don't say he accepted a false Messiah, but because he honestly believed that that man on the scene was the Messiah, since the man was there and the tribes weren't together, he had to choose between this is the Messiah or he's not the Messiah because the tribes haven't come, or the third alternative, I know he's the Messiah, the tribes aren't together, so they'll never return. Follow that? So you got to be careful, don't you? Now, the reason I got on this speech that twisted my vest all around is I don't want you to get nervous if you don't follow every little detail. I'm hitting you with a hole. And as we bring Paul on the scene, it becomes increasingly important to see that God has to be faithful to his promise, because Paul makes it clear that those 10 lost tribes are really Gentiles that will show forth the glory of God when God returns, and in the place that they were known as not his people, not having obtained mercy, they will be known as my people, and as having received mercy, and will no longer say Baal, but will sing my Lord as they turn from their outcast state. And suddenly, like the dead coming to life, the dead men's bones in Ezekiel 37, they are discovered. Now, one more little clod in the field. Until the last century and a half, you say, well, how come you're reading from a Bible and it sounds different? Why, I tell you, be wary of seminaries. Too many professors are running around that just regurgitate without critical analysis or synthesis with their own faith or the modern times, the notes they got in school 20 years ago, that professor got in school 20 years before, that professor got in school 20 years before. They don't gestalt anything. I used to be, in fact, I was on the committee chosen to analyze what was wrong with Evangel College and turn it around at one time in Springfield, Missouri. And I was minister of education in the church where most of the professors and executives of the school attended. They put on a set of psychological gears on Sunday morning and expressed their religious faith and marched out on Monday and pulled their notes out, unsynthesized and uncriticized and unrelated to their faith, and regurgitated them to the destruction of faith of the kids the next morning in this classroom. Never would the twain meet, because it's hard work. German theological concepts have dominated the church world for years, coming out of view of reality called German idealism that is utterly alien to the New Testament faith. And kids go through seminaries memorizing God's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, don't even think through the complications as they put God in a box that gives him the ager to sit in. Well, the Germans have dominated everything in too many fields for too long. It was the German school of history and archaeological studies that pushed onto the world until the last century a false view of history, a false view of archaeology, a false view of the whole reality of this globe. They were what's known as Helleno-Romano-centric. The classical cultures were the Greek and the Roman, and the rest of the world, they adopted the stupid Greek view that if you were non-Greek, you were barbarian. To the Greeks, the word barbarian was a generic term, the same way the Gentile is generic to a Jew. It's other than me. If you are Judea-centric, from the chosen people concept, which I believe they are chosen, but I believe God got a basket big enough to choose some other things for his table. But if you are Judaic-centric, then there's me and everybody else. There's the Jew and everybody else the Gentile. Or if you are Greco-centric, and the only historians worthy of note, though we got 5,000 documents for biblical historians, for every one document of a Herodotus or a Plato. But if you have deified the Greco-Roman world, then every god you encounter must be related to Mount Olympus, and everything other than the Greco culture, the Greeks, were viewed by the Greeks as barbarians. Barbarian wasn't standing on your head when you eat or washing with dirt. Barbarian was non-Greek. And when the Romans moved into the Grecian vacuum and were Hellenized by the Greeks, barbarians were non-Roman, a generic term. It wasn't until the last century that archaeology and men with enough integrity to escape from the German domination of the field blew that concept to smithereens and discovered that the Greco-Roman world was not the center of culture and the universe, and that everything moved from that benchmark to some degree of lesser quality. But lo and behold, instead of some of the Thracians and the Celtians and the Scythians, barbarians, encountering the Greeks and becoming cultured, they were in fact ahead of the Greeks, and the Greeks learned some things from them. That is brand new, relatively speaking, on the scene, and I have no fear of the science contradicting me on it. The whole world of archaeology and history woke up. I remember when I did my undergraduate major in history. For the first time in the history of the university I attended, the faculty decided to pick a textbook for the general overview of European history written by some leading scholars who for the first time had the guts to write a book that centered the history of Europe in a polarized basis, giving equal emphasis to the Byzantine Empire and the Arabian Empire and the influence of the Arabs, instead of making Greece and Rome the center of everything and everything that intruded upsetting their little classical advanced apple cart. As I read the other night, Plato had a guy from Egypt tell him, "You Greeks are a bunch of dummies. Let me tell you about somebody that was in front of you." Now, as I said many weeks ago, people of faith get ridiculed because they have faith. I stood as a trembling freshman coming out of an assembly hall at Cal State University at Chico, listening to a ruthless English professor that was my English professor, saying to another, I overheard as I walked out of an assembly hall where they had shown a movie made by Moody Bible Institute on strange facts of nature that revealed some kind of creative divine power in some of the things like the little penguins of South Australia that go out for miles and come back to the exact same burrow and walk up with their little butler stride to their little holes, from that to such things as the eels that go from the Sargasso Sea. And Moody Bible Institute was in the emphasis in those days of showing God's handiwork in nature. And he walked out cursing, saying, "Faith! I hate anything that has faith." And I stood there trembling, thinking, if I'm going to get out of this school, I got to quit having faith. So I set out to find a philosophy of life that didn't require any faith, changing majors on every degree, till I got smart enough to figure out there isn't any such animal. Until I began to discover it took more faith to believe some of these so-called historians and scientists than it did to believe God. I mean, for centuries, the Germans mocked Homer's Iliad as an absolute legend with no basis in fact. Took one of their own stubborn Germans to find Troy. They couldn't argue with him. He's a German. And blow their theories down the drain and prove that Homer was almost as accurate in his cartography as the Bible is in locating King Solomon's mines for an archaeologist. Well, now in the last century, history has had to be rewritten as we understand that Greek and Rome was influenced by civilizations around them just as advanced in different ways as they were. And the deification of the Greco-Roman world is as much a brainwashing of the generations of the Western world as the communists are brainwashing their citizens with a history that they write. By the way, that one-eyed Pasha and those Arabians had more sense when Lollard got there than his archaeological teachers that thought he was a nut to dig there. Well, it sounds good to say, dear old brother, Rabbi Akiba had the courage to state bluntly, if I believed that Stan Clements was the Messiah and the 10 tribes had to be found before the Messiah came, and Stan's the Messiah and he's sitting over there, I got a choice. Either Stan's not the Messiah or the tribes ain't ever coming back. And if I am convinced you're the Messiah, then I'm going to have the courage to bluntly say, ain't going to be no 10 tribes, friend. They didn't tell you the whole story, did they? About the only place you get the whole story is here. I'd suggest you stick around a while.